Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Welcome back, guys. And we want to thank our newest Patreons as well as an upgrade.
Yes, we want to say thank you so much. Crypto Geezer, he's given us an upgrade. We really appreciate that. We want to say thank you to Feel Free, Romain, JNS, Steve, and Daniel.
Thank you guys so much for your support. And you make it possible to keep doing this. And make sure you are subscribed to all three channels. And I looked at this and I said, oh my God, it's been 11 days. We haven't posted on Heart's Home for 11 days. And you know, there were two videos that were going to go up on Heart's Home, but I ended up putting them on Evolutionary. Because I just felt like I wanted, 2,000-3,000 people or more to see them instead of 500 in order to bring more people over here to go deeper dive, because it's so important.
Very important, especially now.
It really is, because what we've gotten from the guides is the singular most important thing, obviously, besides stepping out of the way of a moving train or out of the firing line of enemy troops, when you're talking about the times that we're in, is your spiritual practice. That is the single, and that is the single most important thing, and that could actually get you out of the way of that speeding train. It could actually get you to be standing in a different place when that speeding bullet goes by.
You know, and there's so much confusion when it comes to belief systems, different religions, different understandings, and all kind of comparisons. And maybe you're just one who's, you know, not able or doesn't really know what to look for. But I can tell you, we are spiritual beings, and it used to be at our very core to be one with nature. You know, spirituality, it's not that it separates you from the 3D, but it helps you understand the 3D and understand the deeper meaning of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, again, it's our, the way we view everything is so important, because again, if we find ourselves in the mindset, like about 65% of the world will identify as coming from the Abrahamic tradition. Now, what is wrong with that, you might say? Well, it really does color the lens in which you see everything. And when we look at, say, Christianity, why does Christianity have so many denominations? There's more than 45,000 denominations globally. 45,000. And the early Christians had beliefs that are radically different. Many of them so radically different from all 45,000 of these denominations. You know, these 45,000 denominations, probably, you know, 44,000 of them have the 90-something percent the same basic beliefs. There's just little things, you know, little things that they might accent as being more important, or some things that they might say is not important, like, you know, transubstantiation and, you know, doing the ritual of the Eucharist. You know, obviously that is a centerpiece in the Catholic Church. It's not in many other traditions. And same thing with baptism. You know, I've been in churches where they have a whole basically swimming pool or a spa filled up with water, because you go in your bathing suit and they dunk you entirely. And other ones where they just spritz a little water on your forehead and call it a day. Everybody has different views. And honestly, again, I had a blast exploring as many different denominations as I could as a teenager, of my own choosing. It started when I was 12 all the way to early 20s. I went to as many as I could and just was searching to see what felt right, because nothing felt right. And the fact was that nothing felt right, really, because it's again, it's not one size fits all. And there were some key concepts that just never resonated with me. The higher self said, yeah, no, I just can't believe this. It's just that simple. And when we look over to Islam, for instance, as you see Sunni, Shia, and there is Qajari, Khwarizmi. That one I'm not so familiar with. I'm so familiar with Sunni and Shia. But you can see they branch on off into other groups. There's like 73 here. And this is Islam, which, again, the Prophet Muhammad, we're still talking 1,500 years old. And, of course, Christianity, 2,000 years old. And, again, these are the timelines that are traditional timelines that they tell us, which may or may not be too accurate, as time itself is an illusion. And certainly it's very much like 1984 when you get down to it, and they're rewriting history every day. Every day they're rewriting history. So again, you can see even in Islam, there's a bunch of different branches. How about Buddhism? Look at all the different branches. You have three main, and then you have all these others. Okay, so can we agree to disagree? Because obviously, even when you say you're a Buddhist, even when you say you're a Muslim or say you're a Christian, you're going to find that there's disagreement in many things. When we look to Hinduism, oh, you know, there's four main branches per se, and some might look at three. There's Shaivism, putting Shiva at the top position, Vaishnavism, putting Vishnu in the top position, Shaktiism, putting the goddess, the divine feminine, in the top position, Smartism, which again comes in different ways. And the reality is, there are people that are devotees of Ganesha and just choose to work with Ganesha. But, you know, again, they don't think Ganesha is necessarily the creator of everything. No, he's their guide. He's their teacher. He is their guru. And so that's kind of the difference there, because in Hinduism, again, it's recognized that even when we're talking about the big gods, they are not all. There is an all. And there are different levels of beings as far as the wisdom they've accrued through so many lives. And they would recognize, too, that even Vishnu, you know, per se, has been in our shoes, because he had to be in our shoes to get to a higher level. There's a progression of the soul. There is absolutely an evolution of the soul, which is achieved through countless lifetimes.
And, you know, I was a little bit different. I felt like I needed some kind of spirituality from a very young age. I just didn't know what I needed. I just wanted it. So, of course, my parents, they sent me to church and Sunday school, and none of it really felt right from the very beginning. None of it. But I stayed. I stayed because I knew there was something there. I knew there was some truth in it. Even though the information I was getting wasn't quite right, boy, I tried to make it work. And then I learned that I wasn't supposed to go outside of certain bounds, and I wasn't supposed to do this, and I wasn't supposed to do that. And just all of these things kept feeling more and more stifling to me. Very stifling, you know, with the information that I'm allowed to learn and what I'm not allowed to learn. It just didn't feel right. And I had all these other things like, gosh, I like tarot cards, they're so cool. Gosh, I love astrology. Wow, that's just my thing, you know. Who wouldn't want to understand the stars? And I felt like I was a bad person for wanting to do all these different things that the church wasn't comfortable with. So I just started exploring more, and then I did start to get some understanding and read a little bit of the Sumerian texts, and realize, like, hey, you know, this story sounds familiar, this flood, and that story sounds familiar, and hey, you know, I learned that there was all these stories from so many different other belief systems, and they were all kind of compiled in the Bible. So that's when I'm like, no, you know, I'm gonna explore, I'm gonna step out of this box, and I'm gonna enjoy myself, and I'm gonna learn a bunch of new things, and I'm not gonna feel bad about who I might be inside. So that's what started my journey to start to understand and look at everything that there is to look at.
Absolutely. I think the bottom line is, you know, it's a good thing that not one size fits all. And it's not intended that one size fits all, because we're all unique. And what the system tends to do, and when we get very dogmatic about things, they tend to always want to hammer round, you know, what do you call it, round pegs into square holes, yeah. Right? I mean, it's forcing things when they don't, you know, necessarily fit. And again, as you go through your walk, you might end up, in your spiritual walk, I mean, you might end up finding that there's certain aspects of things that you still keep with you. You know, for instance, my son, I would say that since he was about 8, he identified as a Taoist. And, you know, again, that was one of the main philosophies that I embraced and studied, and still to this day can say, yeah, I don't find much fault with Taoism. I think it has a pretty good grasp on things. It's not really as religious. Some would even say it's not a religion. It's more of a spiritual viewpoint on how the universe works. And again, you know, Taoism is something that is still prevalent enough in this world. Many schools and many different systems have risen and then, you know, fallen. And, you know, at one time Buddhism was much more popular, then it was almost wiped out, and then it's made a resurge. You know, again, it's what resonates with you, but having a practice that lifts your vibrations and your frequency up is what the guides are getting at. So again, you know, even if you're drawn to Hinduism, you might find you're drawn to Shiva and the concepts around Shiva. You might find that you're drawn more to Vishnu, or you might find that you're drawn much more to just any manifestation of the divine feminine. It's fine. It's whatever you want to work with. And again, it's what do you choose to work with? Because again, in other lives, you might have chose to work with something so different than you're choosing to work with in this life. Mm-hmm. And if we had that knowledge at our fingertips, you might find that you were a devoted Muslim in the last life. And then in this life, maybe you're what you would call spiritual non-religious, and you might have been a Christian in the Crusades before fighting Muslims the life before that one.
Mm-hmm. But you just never know until you start exploring, until you start looking at these things, and then you get this feeling of the DNA knock, knock, knocking at your door saying, hey, look into that a little deeper. That's kind of familiar. Let's go back and remember this. And that feeling that you get, that magnetic feeling where you're drawn into something, that's your DNA starting to wake up.
Absolutely. When we take a dogmatic approach, we take an approach that can absolutely divide us. And what's more than that, when we become overzealously dogmatic, it could actually be dangerous. And history is full of examples of that, of one group of religious thought persecuting another to the point of extinction in some cases. And if ultimately at the core, the point of religion is trying to make us better people, certainly destructive actions do not bring about a better result.
That's definitely, you know, something to fairly look at. And I would say a lot of people, they just want to like look away from it because they want to stay in their belief system so badly. And I don't blame them, because it's a lot to break out of a belief system. That means you have to start to unlearn everything you think you knew, and you kind of have to go up against yourself and ask a lot of questions. So it's difficult, but it's not something like, if you see that, it's not really fair to yourself if you just look away from it.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting too is we could go and we could, and I have, you know, you could look at different Gnostic scholars, and you'll find that even amongst them, there's going to be some things that are very, very not agreed upon. And, you know, you just go from one article to another, you can see there's different perspectives. And in this article, it says, like Buddhism, Gnosticism begins with the fundamental recognition that earthly life is filled with suffering. Yeah, you know, again, that is a byproduct of the age that we're in. So again, you know, Buddhism Well, if we believe the dates, Buddha was here about 2,500 years ago. So there you have the peak of the Kali Yuga. And the Gnostics were ultimately persecuted by the early Catholic Church. But early on, there was as many Gnostics as there was any other forms of Christianity out there. Although they were persecuted into oblivion. And only now, you know, in the last 100 years, has it been reborn. But again, persecution, yeah. If you're persecuted and the like, you know, you see all this pain and suffering, you might think that this whole creation is nothing but pain and suffering, and we need to get the heck out of here. And that's what some schools of thinking, you know, took as a main part of their belief system. But that is really a reflection of the yuga that we're in.
And I was kind of thinking about this today, having some deep thought in that yuga and trying to like bring a visualization about it if possible. And when we are in a golden age, it's like we're able to get full sun on our soul, full sun on our being, so that we could be as expansive as we could possibly be. And as we turn and go around in these yugas, in this cycle, it's like we're going away from the sun, which is creating a little sliver of a shadow if we're in the Silver Age. And then we go to the Bronze Age, and there's a bigger shadow blocking out the light and the sun of information for our soul. And then on around the cycle, and you were at a place now where a lot of the light is blocked out, but it's up to us to find it, because it's there. It's dark. I think we're in an emotional dark age, really, where our emotions are taking a back seat when they should be having a front seat.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's a byproduct of a system that we're in, which is one that is all about separation. And when we look to the mystical traditions that we find in the West, we'll find that their main points of view are very similar to what we find in the dominant ones of the East. It really is. When we're again looking at the Gnostics and those that follow the Hermetic tradition, there's the understanding that there is this unknowable source, which is exactly what the Tao is all about. And, you know, so we look at pantheism, and we were talking about like labeling them, because you have pantheism, then you have panentheism and polytheism. And, you know, again, there's different viewpoints from outside of the systems and inside the systems. And that's something that should be recognized too, because, you know, many from the Abrahamic tradition would look to the Hindus and say, well, they're polytheists, but yet they believe that there is ultimately one source. And they would recognize that even if they're choosing to worship Shiva or Vishnu or Shakti, you know, and Durga, that doesn't mean that they're all that there is. No, they understand these are the devas. And the devas are a classification of beings that are simply beings that have been separated, in the sense of their consciousness has its own individualized self to it, longer than many others, as source is always giving birth to new individual, what we would call jivas and souls.
Right. They're beings who have really been on this path for a long time.
Yeah, so again, they might have millions of incarnations more than you and I. So obviously, the wisdom gained, the understanding gained, would be so much more vast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we don't lose that, but we do have to tap into it.
Yes, and you know, again, we are all in whether we're talking the mystical point of view in the Western mystery tradition, again, like Hermeticism, Gnosticism, you know, again, the Kabbalah goes down this path to exploring, you know, what lies beyond the creator of even this universe. Because, yeah, the creator of this universe is still not the all. And that's something that is maybe something people cannot necessarily comprehend, because when we're brought up in the Abrahamic tradition, we view God as being the creator of this universe, but we're viewing God as being something other than us or something other than the universe. Now, you know, again, when we go into pantheism, God is the universe. And then panentheism, you know, God is the universe, but is still something even more than the universe, and perhaps even more than what we would call the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the point being is we are spiritual beings, and what makes us very strong, what makes us different, what makes us grow is our spirituality and our ability to practice that and connect to ourselves on a much deeper level.
So verse 1 of the Tao Te Ching, which we've actually gone through and done verbally every single verse in the Tao Te Ching, and I think that copy is on EE Arts. I'm not sure if I brought it over to Heart's Home. I'll take a look. But the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. And Tao is literally the way, the path, the all, the source. You know, again, we have Dharma in the Hindu tradition and in other traditions that branched off of the Hindu tradition, as some would view that, again, Buddhism comes out of Hinduism, Jainism comes out of Hinduism. And in some ways, you can look to Sikhism as being kind of a merger between Hinduism and the monist point of view. So again, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The unnameable is the eternally real. Naming is the origin of all particular things. Free from desire, you realize the mystery. Caught in desire, you see only the manifestations. Yet mystery and manifestations arise from the same source. This source is called darkness. Darkness within darkness, the gateway to all understanding. And so when he's talking about the darkness there, he's talking basically about the void. And so wuji is a term that we use along those lines of no motion, basically. Again, ultimately, everything is consciousness. And consciousness is literally creating all these universes, all these suns, which, again, have countless forms of life, various forms of life, different planets, all these beings. And again, if you yourself are a universe with 30 trillion beings inside you, each one an individual unit of consciousness, and you're just one singular entity, truly, it's impossible to totally understand that which is the all. And as soon as we name something, as soon as we label it, it can't be the all.
That's right. And having all of these different belief systems to explore and to look at, and for us to feel and see and try on, and what it's nice, because these things help us make sense of the world that we live in the 3D. Again, it does not separate you from the 3D. It just helps you understand the 3D so that maybe you function in it a little bit better, because really I think this world can be so very confusing and conflicting if we look at like the way the controllers want us to look at it. It's very difficult here.
So when you understand this, and you understand what the control system of this world does, it's all about, at various points in time and consistently, it's again a divide and conquer, and it's also always about pulling you into the drama, because again, caught in desire, you see only the manifestations. And again, we see this also in the Sanatana Dharma, that it's all about our desire. And when we leave the physical body, it's the desire to have another physical body that brings us back into the incarnation. And I would share again with you the case of my mother, who died in January of 2020, right when the plague upon the lamb was starting. And really, she was planning to come back, and I know this because of Cindy's amazing abilities, although I did feel her tug my beard when she was still physically alive, but basically out of body. And I knew it was her, and I knew she would be passing on in the coming hours. And, you know, she was visited by my father, and, you know, she was somebody that was brought up Catholic, still went to a Catholic church, but didn't have faith, honestly. She would say, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea. And I would just tell her, don't worry, you're going to be just fine. You're just going to find yourself out of the body. And told her what to expect. And so, you know, she was going to come right back and do it all again and do it pretty darn quickly. And then she took her time on the other side and then decided, nope, going back up higher to pull that aspect of her consciousness back up into the higher self. And so, you know, the higher self of my mother is not anybody I would really recognize. She's very, very different. As she was a very loving, sweet, gentle kind of goofball, but at the same time, very, very well-read and educated. But, you know, no, there was no sternness in her. There was no, you know, none of that feel that she has in her higher self. Her higher self is a much different, much more serious aspect than would be one I would expect. Actually, her higher self to me feels much more like her father. But again, it's a blessing to understand all this and to see the workings of that. So it took her over 2 years to decide what to do. And basically, you know, again, we do a life review on the other side. What the dark side does here is they try to create the trauma so that souls don't have the normal path and get stuck. And again, if we get caught up in the anger, in the hatred, in thoughts of vengeance, etc., etc., oh yeah, that's the way to getting stuck in a certain lower density vibration.
So very important to find ways to keep your head above water. Don't get sucked into that information, because that's just going to pull you in the exact wrong way, because it's so unnatural. You know, we want to be moving toward the natural, and the system that we live in right now, this 3D matrix, is very much AI, not natural.
The thing to recognize, and it's not easy from this perspective, is that your entire life is but a page in a bigger book. It's just one page. And so they want to take control of the book. And this is where the guides are saying, have that spiritual practice, develop that compassion, develop the ability to have what we might call Buddhist detachment. Because if you find yourself getting more and more angered, more and more irritated, and yeah, there is something to righteous anger. At the same time, when it becomes all-consuming and we can't get ourselves out of that frequency, you got to be able to come back to a positive frequency. Because what the system is trying to do is keep you in a perpetual state of lower vibrations.
Mm-hmm. And it'll just keep you going round and round. But when you find these practices, when you find what works for you, that will help you pop up and out of it.
So I hope you guys got something out of this. We are grateful that you're here with us on this channel. We love you guys and love seeing the comments from your beautiful souls.
Source bless and namaste.
Namaste.